It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Monday edition of the show underway. Hope your day is treating you well. Hope your weekend was outstanding. And as usual, we have a boatload of things to get to on a Monday edition of the show. However you are tuned in, know that I appreciate it, whether that's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM on our mobile app on your smart speaker or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Appreciate you being here very much, and we'll appreciate you even more if you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColeBear, and like the Facebook page if you're on the Zuckerberg machine. Type in 1650thefan. You'll find us. Hammer that like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. Make sure, too, that you bookmark that website. It's not only where you get the stream, but where you can get the podcast of this show, as well as all sorts of local and statewide sports content. And dial me up if you want to add to the show with any questions or comments today, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479, or you could email the show. Email address is Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. Questions, comments, maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show, by all means, fire away, and just try to keep your profanities to a minimum. I know it can be difficult, but that's all I really ask. Coming up today on the show, area sports news and scores to get to, a whole bunch we'll get to here in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we'll take the first time out, get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN Action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Monday, looking into tomorrow and Wednesday. We'll come back from that first time out and be joined, as usual this time of the year, by John Walters, Cyclone Radio Network play-by-play voice for Iowa State football and men's basketball. You follow him on Twitter at JWCyclonesTV. And speaking of Iowa State men's basketball, you will hear the regular season opener tonight right here, of course, on your official station for Cyclone Nation as pregame coverage begins at 6, tip-off at 7, IUPUI at Hilton Coliseum tonight in Ames. And we heard John Walters tell us a week ago when we first started talking about this season opener that KenPom, who has all his metrics and rankings and analytics, has IUPUI as the last-ranked Division I men's basketball team headed into this 2022-23 season, and that's among 300-some Division I teams. So quite the honor for IUPUI. I would imagine they will very quickly be overwhelmed by this Iowa State team that what I'm sure will be exposed at times, a lack of shot-making. And I think we'll talk about that with John Walters. But just I think the defense is, if you can believe it, is going to be cranked up even more from last season. And we saw Iowa State play incredible defense last season in T.J. Otzelberger's first season. But they've got some serious athletes that they've added to the roster, particularly in the front court with Osun Osuni and Hasten Ward. I think this team plays above the rim more than they did a season ago, both defensively and offensively. You know, getting block shots, turning that into transition opportunities, and then running the floor and getting opportunities to catch lobs, you know, quick pick and roll, pick and dive, pick and dunk. I think there's going to be a lot of exciting high-flying plays from this Iowa State team. Like I mentioned, I think it's just going to be a matter of how consistently will this team make perimeter shots, just like last year's team. I do. I think the defense is going to be even better, which is saying something, which should mean, you know, you're talking about another 20-plus win season. That should happen. But it's the Big 12. So nothing's a given, and it all starts tonight right here on The Fan. You'll hear it. Iowa State versus IUPUI. After we're done with John in the next segment, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. We'll come back on the other side of that break. I've got audio from UNI football coach Mark Farley as he spoke with the media earlier today. As you might imagine, the burn is still there for Coach Farley and his team after coming up short 31-28 to number one South Dakota State on Saturday at the Unidome. And just a few things here that I'd quickly want to point out. First, that last play with the penalty, right? The South Dakota State kicker misses the 36-yard attempt at the buzzer wide left, but UNI's Sergio Morency whistled for leaping. And to my understanding, if you come in contact as you make that leap, that is what constitutes the penalty. He came in contact with an offensive lineman. If you make a clear leap and you don't touch anybody, okay, good for you. You know, you're a freak athlete, but came in contact with the offensive lineman. They whistled it. And I can understand rolling those dice on a 36-yard field goal. That is typically going to be one that gets made by a Division I college football kicker. But, I mean, you talk about two sides to every coin. With the benefit of hindsight, you're thinking, man, just try to do it old school. You know, get three of your defensive tackles jammed up in the middle, overwhelm one of those guards, try to get a guy to break through and get a hand on one, have one of your fast guys that always plays on field goal block out on the perimeter, try to get around the edge and dive and lay out. But like I said, that's with the benefit of hindsight. If you got a freak athlete and maybe you've practiced it once or twice, I could see rolling the dice on it. So everybody's got hindsight on that one. Really, I think the game was lost when, you know, they got sacked for a 10-yard loss on the final offensive drive that started with just a little over a minute left. And then you've got a true freshman punter in there because of the very unfortunate situation with Cale Loescher's health. And thankfully, great story from Ethan Petrick at the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier last week about how Cale is finally out of the hospital now. He's got a long road back to be able to play Division I college football again. But he was at the Unidome on Saturday. It was great to see him there wearing his uniform. But, you know, you had to call in a true freshman punter, and he's got a low snap and doesn't get a very good punt off. South Dakota State makes a couple big runs, get into a good position there to make that field goal, and they convert. And that's what a top-ranked team in the country does. It's, I think for me now, looking at this UNI Panther team, it's, man, this is a team that's good enough to beat FCS playoff teams. They could beat a good group, I think, on any given day of teams that will be in that FCS playoff, and they still could be on the outside looking in, because while they were 6-5 last year, they had a real marquee win against the Big Sky champion, Sacramento State. They came up short against Sacramento State this year, and the Hornets all but look like they're going to repeat and be undefeated as Big Sky champs. So that could leave the Panthers on the outside looking in. They still got to go get a win a week from this Saturday. Oddly enough, their bye week is this week. So they still got to go get a win a week from Saturday against the South Dakota team that's been hot lately. Had a couple upsets, I think, as far as the Vegas lines are concerned, against Youngstown State and Missouri State these past 2 weeks. So they've kind of caught a little bit of fire ever since they let go their offensive coordinator about a month ago. It's not going to be a gimme, but the Panthers need to go in there and dominate, I think, as the playoff committee will be watching that among many other games a week from this Saturday as they put together that 24-team field. The Iowa Hawkeyes, how about the Hawks? 24-3 win over Purdue. I did not see that coming whatsoever. Purdue, obviously, a little more down than what I thought from having seen them earlier this season. I will say this, though. As much as I want Hawk fans to just to be able to run their victory lap and everything be good, at least for a little while, right? Hawk fans, I feel like you could use a little bit of a reprieve from all the dramatics that have come with this season. I didn't like Spencer Petras' postgame comment, and that's just me. Maybe it's a me thing, but I know I'm not the only one, and not the only one in the media who's said this. And here's Spencer's quote: "No offense to anyone in here, but you guys had us dead 2 weeks ago. We couldn't do anything right, as did the whole outside world, it felt like, but that's not football. It's a week-to-week game. You keep working, and if you do things right and work hard, then good results happen." Here's the thing, Spencer Petras. Those guys, they didn't have you dead, all right? They were just saying what they were seeing. They were reporting what they were watching. It's their job, Spencer Petras. The media doesn't have it out for you, okay? And I don't know if maybe your head football coach, given the comments that he made and had to apologize for, thinks that's the case, or thinks that even if it's not the case, that it's a way to motivate his team. If that's the case, that's lame. You shouldn't need the media to motivate you to play Division I college football. Maybe that speaks to just his inability to realize his potential. Because here's the thing, Spencer Petras. You threw your first touchdown in a Big Ten game on the road in 13 months on Saturday. So it just didn't strike me like now's the time to hit the media with this comment. Now, if you want to wait until maybe you rip off a few more, you get to a bowl game and you win that, be my guest. Take your shots on the way out at the end of the season, I suppose. Fine, but guess what? Your numbers are still miserable. You know, you led an offense that scored 7 points. 7 points, was it, against South Dakota State? And you and I just hung 28 on them. And short of, like, three mistakes, you and I would have hung 40-something on South Dakota State. But they hung 28 out on them, and they probably had their C-plus or B-minus game. So you're the third-best Division I quarterback in the state. All right? There's no question about it. And everybody says he's a nice guy and he works hard, and I believe that. But the comment was ill-timed, to say the least. Okay? Just keep your nose down and play ball. Keep playing good football, and, you know, you stack enough good games in a row, be my guest and take your victory lap and maybe say something like this that's a little pointed. Okay? But a little too soon, I thought, there for old Spencer Petras. Wanting to wave the big W flag for his team in the face of the media after that win at Purdue on Saturday. The Astros, the cheating scumbags that are the Astros, win the World Series. Dan Patrick, love you, Dan Patrick. But once again, I don't know why he can't help himself asking aloud if people still care that the Astros cheat. It's like, Dan, if you want to expose yourself as a guy who's not a, which is fine, but a guy who's not a real, real baseball fan, then keep saying that stuff. Because us baseball, like real baseball fans, we can't stand the Astros. Anybody who's a real baseball fan and is not an Astro fan hates the Astros. And hates a strong word, but it's sports. So there's a little bit of innocence to using a word like that. Okay? But they're cheating scumbags. All right? So just, gosh, it just kills me when he keeps bringing that up. But, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm supposed to feel good for Dusty Baker, whatever, good for him. But I don't want to see him win another World Series the rest of my lifetime, just to put it plainly. Okay, need to try and stay on schedule here. Let's dive right in. Area sports news and scores for your Monday. Following quarterfinal play, only one area team remains in the state high school football playoffs. And for the fourth consecutive season, Grundy Center will play in the Class A semifinals. The Spartans will take on Woodbury Central at the Unidome Thursday afternoon at 1. Both teams are unbeaten at 11-0. Grundy Center is the second seed. Woodbury Central is the 3 seed. State semifinal games and all 7 classes will begin at the Dome on Wednesday with 8-player and conclude on Saturday. The Cedar Falls girls swimming team won 5 individual events and 3 relays as it easily won the regional title at Dubuque Saturday. Cedar Falls finished with 523 points. Second place Decorah had 211. Cedar Falls' Tayton Lehman won the 100 and 200 freestyle events for the Tigers, while Bailey Lehman won the 200 individual medley and 100 breaststroke. Emma Mason won the 500 freestyle. The girls' state swimming and diving meet is this Friday and Saturday in Marshalltown. The Cedar Rapids Gazette has released its preseason girls high school basketball rankings, and a pair of area teams are top-ranked. Waterloo West is number one in 5A, Dyke New Hartford top-ranked in 2A. Another area school is also ranked in Class 4A. Waverly Shell Rock is number eight. Former Don Bosco multi-sport standout Cale Frost has announced that he's committing to South Dakota State to play baseball. Frost had an outstanding career at Don Bosco, was a member of 9 state championship trophies, 6 in wrestling, 2 in football, 1 in baseball. This past year, he played baseball at Kirkwood, where in 49 games, he hit .379 with 10 home runs and drove in 40. The Iowa State football team coasted past West Virginia 31-14 to pick up its first Big 12 win on Saturday. The loss snapped a 5-game losing streak and kept Iowa State's bowl chances alive. Cyclone quarterback Hunter Deckers threw for 2 touchdowns. Xavier Hutchinson caught 10 passes for 123 yards and a score. Iowa State travels to Oklahoma State this Saturday. Kickoff is at 2:30. As I mentioned, top-ranked South Dakota State kicked a 26-yard field goal at the end of regulation to beat UNI 31-28 Saturday at the Unidome. Panthers now 5-5, 4-3 in Missouri Valley Conference play. Has a bye this Saturday. Returns to action Saturday, November 19th for its regular season finale at South Dakota. Caleb Johnson ran for 200 yards on 22 carries, including a touchdown. Spencer Petras passed for 2 touchdowns. Iowa defeated Purdue 24-3 on Saturday. Hawks are now 5-4, 3-3 in the Big Ten, and play host to Wisconsin on Saturday. Caleb Johnson, who had that big day out of that Hawkeye backfield, became the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week for his performance. He had career bests in rushing attempts and yards, along with a career best 2 receptions for 17 yards. The 200 rushing yards are the second most by a Hawkeye freshman all time. Wartburg has moved up one spot to number 15 in this week's D3Football.com Top 25. The Knights raised their record to 9-0 after crushing Simpson 81-9 Saturday in Waverly. The 81 points tied a school record. The Knights conclude their regular season on the road at Coe on Saturday. The college basketball season tips off tonight across the state. Iowa State hosting IUPUI. Pregame at 6, tip-off at 7 here on The Fan, as I mentioned. Iowa hosting Bethune-Cookman tonight at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. That tips off at 6. It's the first-ever meeting between the two teams. And UNI tips off its regular season tonight at home against Division III Wartburg at McLeod Center. Tip-off is at 7:30. Meanwhile, tonight in women's college basketball, fourth-ranked Iowa begins its season hosting Southern. That's after the men's game. It's at 8:30. Hawks return all 5 starters from a year ago after winning the Big Ten regular season and tournament titles. Meanwhile, the UNI women's basketball team begins its, began its 2022-23 campaign at home against St. Thomas. That one tipped off at the top of the hour, 5 o'clock. UNI is looking to win its 3rd straight season opener. And then earlier this morning, 8th-ranked Iowa State women's basketball opened its season with an 87-54 victory over Cleveland State. Ashley Jones notched her 50th career double-double, scoring 28, pulling down 11 rebounds. The Cyclone women are back in action on Thursday when they play host to Southern. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN action update, and a forecast. All coming your way on the other side. We will hear from John Walters, and we will talk Iowa State football, women's basketball, men's basketball. A lot to talk about with John. That's all next on a Monday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
All right, guys, well, the Colts are now in the hands of Jeff Saturday. The 6-time Pro Bowl center is now the interim head coach. Despite not being on the staff or having prior NFL coaching experience, Colts firing Frank Reich in his 5th season in charge. They were supposed to challenge for the divisional title, but just 3-5-1, and Sam Ehlinger is now their quarterback after Matt Ryan was sent to the bench. Bills with a lump in their throat. Josh Allen reportedly limited in practice this week. UCL ligament injury in his elbow. More to come tomorrow. Giants safety Xavier McKinney out at least 4 weeks due to a hand injury suffered in an ATV accident during the week off in Cabo. Monday Night Football takes us to New Orleans. You got the Saints and Ravens. Dennis Allen knows that they're going to have work for cut out for them trying to bottle up Lamar Jackson.
It's hard to contain him. You know, I think when you watch every game, he's had some explosive plays in just about every game. I think he's a unique talent because he's probably the, if not the best, one of the best athletes on the field, and he touches the ball on every single play. So That creates a lot of challenges.
And it's opening day in college hoops. There's plenty of action today that included fifth-ranked Baylor overpowering Mississippi Valley State 117-53. I'm Marco Belletti. CBS Sports
Radio. Iowa State basketball is on your smart speaker. Just say, hey, Google, play 1650 The Fan.
I'm Glenn Keith, and I want to serve you as Blackhawk County Supervisor. I spent my entire adult life in service with 25 years of military service, multiple combat tours, and 5 years as an educator. I know a thing or two about servant leadership, teamwork, and completing the mission. When we plan and work as a team with a unified voice, together we can make Blackhawk County better. Remember the guy with two first names, Glenn Keith, on November 8th. Learn more at glennkeithleads.com.
Paid for by Glenn Keith for Supervisor.
Don't be fooled by Liz Mathis. She's just a rubber stamp for Biden and Pelosi.
Liberal Liz Mathis. Her campaign, bankrolled by Pelosi. Her radical agenda, the same as Pelosi's.
She wants higher taxes and more government spending, just like Pelosi.
Liz Mathis opposed the largest tax cut in Iowa history.
She thinks I should pay taxes on my retirement income.
Mathis even wants to tax the mileage on my car.
If you like Nancy Pelosi, you'll love Liz Mathis.
Liberal Liz Mathis. She'll be Pelosi's voice in Washington, not yours. The Iowa choice? Ashley Hinson. Hinson will stand up to the radical Pelosi agenda, not rubber stamp it.
Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi are on the ballot here in Iowa, and they're going by the name Liz Mathis. I'm Ashley Hinson, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because we need to defeat them to take our country back.
Paid for by Ashley Hinson for Congress.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
NFL Monday night, the Saints hosting the Ravens. Baltimore a 1.5-point favorite on the road to close out Week 9. Week 10, the Bears opening as a 2.5-point home favorite against the Lions. The Houston Astros are World Series champions for the second time in 5 years, beating the Phillies in 6 games, already looking ahead to next year. And once again, the Dodgers are the early favorite to win the World Series at plus 500. Astros again there behind them at plus 650, followed by the Braves and Yankees at plus 800 and the Mets at plus 900. NBA tonight, the Bulls hosting the Raptors. Chicago a 4-point favorite, 221 is the over-under. The Bulls lost on the road to Toronto last time out. Red Hot winning picks at experts.winnersandwiners.com. Save 75% on any best bet package with the promo code ACTION75. That's ACTION75 at experts.winnersandwiners.com.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 33. Winds out of the east 8 to 15 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 52. Tomorrow, overcast. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, lows around 47. Overcast skies. Chance for scattered showers Wednesday with a chance for scattered storms Thursday. Highs in the upper 60s. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 44.
Hey, who wants to have some fun?
Cole and Company with Colbert.
I do.
On 1650 The Fan.
Now, are you just saying you want to have fun, or do you really want to have fun?
Welcome back to a Monday edition of Cole and Company here on The Fan. And finally, this weekend, the Iowa State Cyclones got the monkey off their back, snapping that 5-game losing streak and getting a convincing win over West Virginia, 31-14 the final in that game against the Mountaineers. Cyclones got their run game going. A lot of good things coming out of that win, as you might imagine. And plus, folks, Iowa State men's basketball tonight, right here on The Fan, the regular season opener. The Cyclones playing host to IUPUI. Pregame coverage going to begin at 6. And then earlier today, the Iowa State women's basketball team got a win in impressive fashion, 87-54 over Cleveland State to open its regular season. So a lot to talk about. So we're glad to have John Walters, play-by-play voice of Iowa State football and men's basketball, on the show right now. John, like I mentioned, good news, good vibes right now in Ames as the football team gets a win on Saturday and the women take care of business this morning.
Yeah, really good. You know, I think the combination of football having a great win on Saturday, wrestling had a phenomenal weekend, and really handled Wisconsin, which was a top 10 team. That was super exciting. And then you go right into basketball this morning with the women playing like we would have expected from the number 8 team in the country. They look very good. And now men's basketball tonight. So a lot of excitement. It's a fun time of year when you get this overlap because there's so many things going on. It's a little bit of your head spinning too, but in a positive way. So it's fun. It's a fun time of year, and hopefully a lot of victories for the Cyclones in November.
Yes, hopefully so. Just a couple quick things on that women's game earlier today, 87-54, the win over Cleveland State. Ashley Jones, if I'm not mistaken, all 28 of her points came in the first half of that game, John. Is that right?
I believe she had 24 at halftime.
Oh, my goodness.
She scored 4 points in the second half, yeah. Yeah. at half, I know that because at halftime I was looking up to see what the school record is for points in the game, and it was 41.
Okay.
No, wait a minute. No, Ashley's career high was 41. Tanya Burns had 42. Back in 1984. So, yeah, we were looking that up at halftime when she had 24 points at the half. But they spread it around a little bit in the second half, and she didn't score as much, but certainly cemented her status as the preseason All-American that she is.
No doubt. And it's always most always a good sign of things when you're digging through the media guide trying to find some records. And want to ask about Stephanie Soares, the NAIA transfer. She sure looked comfortable, 15 points, I should say, made a three-point shot. What can you tell Cyclone fans about the new gal in the middle who looks like she sure could be a force this season for Coach Finley's team?
Yeah, she absolutely is going to be a force. She blocks shots. She can shoot the three. She can rebound. She can run the floor. And she is going to create all kinds of matchup problems for opponents because – typically, teams do not want to bring a big out onto the floor to cover another big, but they're going to have to do that with her because she will knock down threes, and she's going to create a lot of havoc. And the other part of the equation is everybody else on the floor can really shoot the basketball well, and so it's just going to create a ton of problems. And, you know, she got in a couple quick fouls today, but before she got those two fouls, she was blocking shots. She was really affecting the game, getting steals, deflections. 6'6" and with the great wingspan, too. You know, she can really deflect a lot of balls and create some turnover situations, which, you know, Iowa State offensively doesn't need a ton of extra help with its defense producing offense. It has plenty of good offensive weapons to begin with, but then when you start getting a few easy baskets because your defense is creating offense for you, then it's really scary. So, you know, this is going to be a very, very good basketball team, and she's a big part of that.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing how not only she plays, but the rest of this Cyclone team. As you mentioned, John, just looks like they're set up to do perhaps even bigger things this year, which is certainly saying something. Let's shift gears to football. John Walters, Cyclone Radio Network, our guest right now on a Monday edition of Cole & Company. Follow him on Twitter at JW Cyclones TV. As I touched on, John, in that 31-14 win, Cyclones got that run game out of the mud. I mean, was it everybody joined together and sing hallelujah after that game on Saturday?
Yeah, that was awesome to see. And, you know, I credit Tom Manning, you know, for being creative and trying to, you know, you're stuck in a rut where you're having a hard time running the football, and he got creative with it. You know, Iowa State played an extra tackle. I don't know how many snaps, but I'll bet it was 30 or 40 snaps.
Wow.
They had Grant Triber come in and play alongside the other 5 linemen, and they created some running holes doing that. And on top of that, Cartavius Norton looked healthy and really ran the ball with some authority. Deion Silas got into the game when Brock got hurt and just really looked good. Had a couple explosive runs, a 38-yarder and a 33-yarder, and then Hunter Deckers ran the ball well. And so by far the best that Iowa State's run game has looked in conference play, not even close. And it's amazing how the rest of the offense can start to look better when you're able to run the football. And Hunter made some great throws, didn't have any interceptions in this game, wasn't asked to do too much. And, you know, all those things are related. And it all starts with the run game, and that's what Iowa State was able to do on Saturday.
I mean, what can we say at this point about Xavier Hutchinson? Because he's not sneaking up on anybody, yet that young guy still hauls in 10 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown. John, I mean, we got to enjoy him while he's still here, but that guy's going to be making plays on Sundays, I have to imagine.
Well, he is, and I really hope that he ends up being a first-team All-American.
Yeah.
I know that's asking a lot because there's a lot of great receivers in college football, and some of them are playing on teams that are having more team success this year than Iowa State is. But if you just look at the numbers, I mean, he leads the nation in receptions. He leads the nation in catches per game. He's, you know, and it's not even close. He's blowing away the field in those categories. And already broke his single-season school record that he set last year for receptions in the season. He's still got three games to play, maybe four.
Wow.
And then on top of that, he's approaching 1,000 yards receiving on the season. And he's approaching the school record for receptions of Alan Lazard, 241. He's only seven shy of that record. And he's only halfway through his third year. You know, I mean, it's absolutely amazing what he is doing. And, you know, last Saturday, Cole, he was targeted 11 times. He made 10 catches and had those numbers that you brought out. And so he was absolutely fantastic. And he makes the tough catches. I mean, he makes some catches in traffic that you just shake your head. He had a huge catch late in the game when Iowa State's trying to get it put away where, you know, it was a third down and it was a possession down and he made a catch and the guy was right there to make the hit on him and he just bounced right off it and moved the chains with a nice run after the catch. So he does everything well and I think is having an All-American type of season.
Got to talk about the defense though, John. I mean, even in those losses, during that losing streak, more often than not, the defense still was showing up, doing their thing, and they get a couple sacks, an interception, four pass breakups. It just seems like they were really able to keep West Virginia out of establishing any sort of rhythm. I don't know. I don't know if we've talked enough about this defense, albeit, you know, the record is what it is at 4-5, but, man, they've had a good year.
They've had a great year, and they're number one in the Big 12 in scoring defense and rush defense and pass defense and total defense. I mean, they're having a phenomenal year. And, you know, they had a really talented quarterback in JT Daniels walking off the field just shaking his head. I mean, he could not do anything against them. And really, West Virginia had two drives all day. They had a drive right before halftime led by Daniels, and then they had a drive in the fourth quarter after they had taken Daniels out of the game, where the backup quarterback came in and got him down the field when the game was basically over. Other than that, they didn't move the ball at all. I mean, they had 200 total yards, and probably 130, 140 of them came on those two drives. Everything else was three and outs. And so this defense was fantastic, and they really have been all season. And it was just fun to see the good complementary football that Coach Campbell always talks about, where the offense was doing its part and, you know, helping to keep that defense off the field a little bit. Iowa State had a big advantage in time of possession. And it was just a really all-around good win, but the defense certainly did its part like it always does.
Some tough, tough Big 12 teams here down the stretch for Matt Campbell's Iowa State football team, John. TCU in the regular season finale, got to play Texas Tech. And then this weekend, a trip to Stillwater to take on Mike Gundy's Oklahoma State Cowboys. You know, what should we expect from Coach Gundy's team, and how can the Cyclones put themselves in position to try and get a W down there in enemy territory?
Yeah, it's a real mystery what to expect from Oklahoma State right now. You know, they were kind of cruising along, and I had pretty much made the proclamation that I felt they were the best team in the conference, and I really did feel that. And yet they you know, they really struggled here in these last two games. They got blown out by Kansas State. And at the end of that game, unfortunately for them, Spencer Sanders went out with an injury and did not return. And then he didn't play at all this past week against Kansas. And they got beat pretty soundly there, too. So he's a huge part of what they are and who they are. And without him, it's kind of a struggle for this team. And but they still have plenty of talent. It's weird because they went from the number 18 in the country all the way to unranked in 2 weeks. And it was just kind of like falling right off a cliff. And I don't know if it's repairable for them or not. Obviously, if Sanders comes back, that probably changes the dynamic completely for them. But, you know, it's tough to win down at their place. It's always been a tough place to play. Have a lot of really talented football players. It's just weird seeing a Mike Gundy coach team get blown out by anybody, and much less having back-to-back weeks where they really struggled like that. So his program has pretty much been the model of consistency in the Big 12 Conference for the last 15, 17 years. And so it's just very, very rare to see a situation where they struggle like that in back-to-back games, but they have. So hopefully Iowa State can go down there and take advantage of that on Saturday.
Yes, hopefully. And that is a 2:30 kickoff, Iowa State at Oklahoma State on Saturday. All right, let's bounce back to basketball. John, Iowa State men opening up their regular season tonight against IUPUI. Pregame coverage with you and everybody on the Cyclone Radio Network beginning at 6 here on The Fan. Tip-off at 7. Just for you personally, John, what are you most looking forward to being able to witness tonight?
Well, I just want to see how Iowa State looks with this new collection of guys. You know, I think we kind of saw established last year what T.J. Alpelberger demands on the defensive end of the floor and how that was really the impetus for Iowa State having a successful season, because they were so sound on that defensive end of the floor, and they're really disciplined, and they run their offense, with a lot of precision as well, as far as discipline and not taking early shots and making sure you take a good shot. And so I thought they were a really well-coached team last year. Now you bring in a bunch of new guys, and can you still have some of those same habits, as he likes to call them, and principles, but at the same time maybe have a little bit more of playmakers, because this team now all of a sudden has some real size to it when you look at Oshunyi and Hassan Ward, and Jazz Coons is back, Robert Jones is back. You're going to get Trey King at the semester, but it's like all of a sudden this Iowa State team has some size. And so I think, Cole, when I go grab a stat sheet tonight, what I want to look at is how many offensive rebounds and second chance points does Iowa State get? And I asked TJ that question. He said he's going to look at points off turnovers, because he wants this team to really ball pressure and get out and create like they did a year ago and get some points off of their defense. I think those are areas where Iowa State can really excel with this group. Will they block some shots? You know, I think between Oshunyi and Ward, who each defensive players of the year in the Atlantic 10 Conference, this could be a really good defensive team that can also block some shots and maybe get out and run off some of those. So, you know, I think with this team, with its size, even though it's still going to be a struggle to score some nights, because they are built for the defensive end of the floor. And there are going to be nights where they don't make shots and they struggle a little bit. But can they get second chance points? Can they get points at the free throw line because they're getting the ball inside in the paint to their bigs? Can they get points off turnovers? If they can get decent production in those three categories, then all of a sudden it's not as incumbent on you to do a lot out of your half-court offense if you're finding other ways to do it. So those are things I'm going to be looking for tonight, Cole, and I'm really excited to see this team play.
You and me both, John. Great stuff as always. Enjoyed the conversation. Looking forward to your call tonight. Have a great one, and we'll catch up again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks a lot for having me, Cole.
Yeah, big thanks to John for his time today on the show. Pre-game at 6, tip-off at 7, Iowa State men's basketball. Season opener against IUPUI right here tonight on The Fan, your official station for Cyclone Nation. All right, let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during the break. On the other side, we hear audio from UNI football coach Mark Farley. Panthers still dealing with the sting of a 3-point loss to the top-ranked team in the country, South Dakota State, on Saturday. Coach Farley next on a Monday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
This is sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. It's a busy day of action for the Big Four as the college basketball season tips off. The Iowa Hawkeye men are at home to take on Bethune-Cookman. Coach Fran McCaffrey.
I like this team. I like where we are. But there's, you know, many challenges before us, obviously.
After a run to the Sweet 16 last season, the Iowa State men open tonight at home against IUPUI, while the UNI men play host to Wartburg. The Iowa State women got it started earlier today. The 8th-ranked Cyclones outscored Cleveland State 22-2 to close the opening half. In an 87-54 win in Ames, Ashley Jones led the way with 28 points and 11 boards. The 4th-ranked Hawkeye women are the second half of the doubleheader in Iowa City tonight. They take on Southern. The UNI women are at home late this afternoon against St. Thomas in Minnesota, while the Drake women host Wisconsin Green Bay. Todd Kim, Radio Iowa Sports.
This is a warning for Iowa taxpayers. Democrats have a radical plan to make Iowa more like California. And they've picked liberal Deidre DeGeer to get it done. Reckless government spending, higher taxes, even an extreme environmental plan that would destroy family farms. Even worse, when DeGeer disrespected police and refused to stand for law enforcement, Iowa Democrats didn't even care. That tells you all you need to know. Deidre DeGeer and her Democrat allies, too liberal for Iowa.
There's a better choice. Governor Kim Reynolds. With inflation spinning out of control, Kim Reynolds cut taxes to help seniors and working families. When Democrats attacked police, Reynolds backed the blue. And when the radical left tried to shut the country down, Reynolds fought back, keeping schools and business open. Kim Reynolds, common sense leadership for Iowa.
Paid for by the Kim Reynolds for Iowa Committee.
It's time for Unfolding Futures. Here's Akwi Enji.
At Waterloo Schools, we're leading the way to create world-class opportunities for students to discover where their passion meets profession. This month, we've opened a new cybersecurity classroom at the Waterloo Career Center, and it's taught by our very own Kyle Coolers, who's been nominated for a prestigious statewide Computer Science Educator Award. We're also gearing up for the first ever season of girls wrestling as we head into the winter sports season. But before the snow falls, we're celebrating the successes of our fall sports and extracurriculars with incredible achievements from our students with support from our coaches and staff. Shout out to cross country, volleyball, football, marching band, cheerleading, swimming and diving, and so much more. And a special shout out goes to East High senior Natalie C for their recent honor as the Courier's Prep of the Week for volleyball and West High senior Kyle Elliott for football. At Waterloo Schools, students go beyond doubt and fear, and they go bold. With us, their future is now. Visit us online at waterlooschools.org.
Are you or your business the next fall star? The Shields Tiger Performance Center is looking for two all-star level donors. Your pledge of $50,000 a year for the next 5 years will help move this dream to reality. Awesome naming opportunities available, including the outdoor track, the media center, building wings, learning centers, and more. Fall star donors will be recognized at the Cedar Falls Winter Sports Kickoff on November 15th. For more information, see us at the TPC table in the North Concourse. Follow Tiger Performance Center on Facebook and Twitter, or visit the website tigerperformancecenter.com. Are you looking for a new opportunity? Cedar Falls Schools is hiring. Get competitive wages, flexible schedules, and a rewarding career. Paraeducators, food service employees, bus drivers, media specialists, and more. Go to cfschools.org/employment or call 319-553-2443 for more information. Come find your next calling with Cedar Falls Schools.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert on your home for Cubs baseball, 1650 The Fan and 102.3 FM.
Yeah, welcome back. Monday edition of the show, and hearing the voice guy remind you that we are your home for Cubs baseball with the World Series ending the offseason, arguably the best time of the year for us Cubs fans historically, has officially begun now. So looking forward very much so to the hot stove season. And, of course, we'll do our usual from time to time, connect with Tommy Birch, who does a great job covering the Cubs organization for the Des Moines Register, and Michael Cerami as well, friend of the show from BleacherNation.com. But right now we're talking football. You and I, football coach Mark Farley, met the media today, and with the dramatics of Saturday's narrow 31-28 loss to number one South Dakota State in the rear view, Coach Farley spoke about what stood out most to him going back and watching the game film.
Of a game. You look at it, there was
there was a lot of composure and emotion that was going up and down throughout that whole football game, whether you're in the lead, from behind the lead. But the entire part of the game, when you look at it, man, I was our team played at for 3 hours the way it's supposed to play. I mean, it was from start to finish, they were battling. They went through some spots in there where South Dakota State tried to create some momentum, and then they recaptured it and got the momentum back and actually made plays. We played really strong in the from the halfway through the third quarter through the fourth quarter. Really was our best quarters. When you want to be good in a game like that, you got to be better in the second half than you were in the first. So what I took from the game is the entire part of it is how did we perform and did we get stronger and better as the game progressed, and I thought we did. And then it came down to that last, the last drive. We had our opportunity. That was probably one you go back and wish you had something right there on those last three plays that we had. We had the ball with a minute 12, had the momentum, had a lot of things going our way, and then we lost field position on the special teams on the punt, and then it kind of trickled from there where you're trying to recapture it because that was the part of the game right there at the last few seconds of it.
It's been an unusual schedule for the Panthers this season. Their bye week is this weekend, which is week 11, and Coach Farley says that this time is going to be important to take some time away to clear their minds because they're not getting over this South Dakota State loss anytime soon.
Yeah, there's nothing to adjust to right now, is there? So it's what we'll do this week, honestly, is we're probably fortunate we have an open date is because that game is going to take more to get over than 24 hours. That game is much different by the whole entire part of the game. That's going to take more. I know it's taking me more than 24 hours to get over, and I'm sure it's going to take players more than 24. So we're going to take we're off today. I'm going to give them tomorrow off. So they've been off Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Now they'll get a three-day time away. We'll come back Wednesday and start to clean up some things and try to put that one behind us. And then try to have a good practice on Thursday. I'll decide on Friday when I get there, and then ramp it up for next week and get ready for South Dakota. So this is more of a get over it, get on with it type time to just kind of take that for what it is. And I don't expect to get over that one for a while. I don't care who's telling me to. You gotta kind of live it to understand it. So. But we'll get back on the field on Wednesday, and that'll help. But right now, we also have to go through this part of the phase of it to get better too. It's just as important to get better and grow from this and build from this as it is any other game. It's just this one, you're going to build from it in a way that could really be a big part of what you become.
And finally, with the benefit of a bye week, it doesn't necessarily mean good things for the Panthers' injury report, as Coach Farley put it today, saying that he doesn't expect defensive end Caden Hotelling or defensive tackle Dylan Bowles to be back for the regular season finale in 2 weeks.
Man, I can't even know. I don't foresee it, okay? It's the one that hurt the other night was and the one that wasn't really expected was Christian Boyd. We thought we were going to get Christian back. He just couldn't get back. And now, after missing all last week, I don't know that we'll even get him back the following week. Maybe, maybe not. He's the one that we might, just because I didn't expect to have him not be there last weekend. So that's why we had to change a couple things up last weekend. And that's why I was actually, who played it and how they played it, they really did a nice job against a team that was really strong at the point of attack where we could have been weakened. But I tell you what, that's the upside. I mean, they battled in. We don't make excuses for who's out there and didn't in that game. And they stood the test and really did a nice job and put ourselves in position to win the game. And so hopefully we'll get maybe a Christian back, but after last week, I can't even be guaranteed of that.
Following up on the play. All right, let's take this final timeout. NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. We'll come back, wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Chris Rose with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Patrick Mahomes threw for 446 yards and a score, added another on the ground as the Chiefs rallied for a 20-17 overtime win over the Titans on Sunday Night Football. Joe Mixon, 5 total touchdowns as the Bengals double up the Panthers 42-21. The Jets top the Bills 20-17 to improve to 6-3. Buffalo drops to 6-2. The Dolphins improved to 6-3 with a 3-point win over the Bears. The Patriots, thanks to 9 sacks over the Colts, they overpowered Indy 26-3. They sit at 5-4, and all 4 AFC East teams have a winning record. Kirk Cousins returned to Washington for the first time to lead the Vikings over the Commanders. The Bucs outscored the Rams 10-0 in the fourth. Tom Brady threw a game-winning touchdown with 9 ticks left, and they beat the Rams 16-13. Lions handed the Packers their 5th straight loss. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Join us for Music with a Mission, a benefit for veterans served by Americans for Independent Living. You can help local veterans with transitional housing and living services, dancing, drinks, silent auction, and hors d'oeuvres on Friday, November 11th. Music by Deja Blue, Carter Guzzi, and Throwback Jack at the Bienvenue Event Center in Cedar Falls. Buy tickets and get more information at afil.org. That's afil.org. Special thanks to VGM and Deanna Wheeler for their support. We hope to see you Friday, November 11th.
Your farm, your way. That's how it should be for all decisions on your operation, including carbon farming. With more qualifying practices, Carbon by Indigo makes it easier to earn income from credits for carbon farming practices you recently started or are considering. Plus, Indigo provides free agronomic resources and expert insights to help you choose what's right for your operation, supporting you as you work to increase your payments. Tom Cannon, who grows corn, soybeans, and wheat, enrolled with Carbon by Indigo in 2020. He says carbon farming can work anywhere.
It does take local knowledge. I think Indigo has been amazing at doing that. Some of the tools that they have been really, really good at helping people to see different practices, where they're working, where maybe they're not working as well.
Farm your way and get paid in cash. See what your carbon farming earning potential could be in less than a minute at indigoag.com/radio. Terms and conditions apply. See program agreement for details.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. On Sunday, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers took down the LA Rams thanks to a classic fourth quarter drive by Tom Brady. Going into the season, many had this matchup pegged as a potential NFC title game preview, but the two teams had failed to live up to expectations. And after the Rams' heartbreaking loss to Tampa this weekend, the two Super Bowl contenders appear to be trending in opposite directions. The Bucs' win puts Tampa in first place in the dismal NFC South. Things aren't looking as promising in LA. The Rams are ranked 29th in scoring offense this year. The offensive line's been a mess, and without Von Miller, LA has dropped from top 5 in sacks in 2021 to the bottom half of the league this year. The NFC West is still open for the taking, so it's hard to count out the defending Super Bowl champs. But with a 3-5 record and no first-round pick, a Super Bowl hangover is starting to become a real reality in Los Angeles. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
This message is brought to you by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal information like your name and address from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more. Discover.com/online privacy protection. That's Discover.com/online privacy protection. Football weather is here. Freezing temperatures, sleet, snow, and ice. Are your tires ready to tackle winter's worst? Well, the experts at TireRack.com will get your vehicle ready for primetime. They sell tires that dominate winter, like the Vredestein Windtrac. Go to TireRack.com/Dan and tell them what you drive. Test results, tire ratings, consumer reviews, all the stats you need to make the right call. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert on 1650 The Fan and the 1650 The Fan mobile app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
What I've really liked is
Front line, we've got a little more depth, length, versatility. Hopefully that leads to us being effective on the glass, leads to us being effective, protecting the rim and things along those lines. And especially as the season wears on, having more frontline bodies that can help you with experience.
We'll get to see how improved that Iowa State front court is coming up here in just over an hour. Iowa State men's basketball with its season opener against IUPUI tonight at Hilton Coliseum. Pregame coming up at the top of the hour at 6, tip-off at 7. I'm headed to McLeod Center for UNI Wartburg. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.